I'm Sue Bartholomew. Welcome to On the Commons. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions. Too many people in America believe they have the right to tell others what to do with their private property. And they believe there is nothing wrong with using the power of government to enforce these ideas. On the Commons with me today is Tom DeWeese, and those are his words. Tom, welcome. Thanks for joining us on the Commons today.
It's my pleasure, Sue. Thank you.
You are founder and president of the American Policy Center, and you are out there protecting individual and property rights across the country, correct?
Well, we've been working for about 10 years trying to get at the heart of what is going on in every community in this country, where I'm sure people all over this country are beginning to figure out that something is wrong with the way our country is being run. They're not quite sure what it is, and that's what we've been focusing on. And property rights are at the very heart of the whole battle.
Well, and you have some CDs and some tapes and things. I guess they're available, right, for sale?
Sure, yeah.
And we'll give people, we'll let people know how they can get a hold of them. But in one of your tapes where you talk about property rights being at the heart of it, without having your property rights, you cannot have any other rights at all. Other rights do not exist. Is that true?
I don't know how you can have any other right. How can you have freedom of speech if you aren't even allowed to stand on your own property and say what you want to say? If it's not your property, if it's not private property, then somebody else can control what you do and what you say. I'm struck by a quote by John Adams. I think sums it up. He says, "The moment the idea is admitted into society that property is not as sacred as the laws of God, and there is not a force of law and public justice to protect it, anarchy and tyranny commence." And if you can't control your own property, that means some other force is doing that, and that's tyranny.
Now, we on the Commons, and what I do is very narrowly focused on homeowner associations, because I feel that that's the first vanguard, if you will, of where you lose your rights. You are looking at this in a much, much broader sense. You look at where the government is taking away property, where other organizations and groups of people seem to have first dibs on your rights. Is that correct?
Well, I'll tell you, the homeowners associations are the area that is closest to you. If your home is in one of these, that's what affects you directly. But what we're dealing with are policies that are handed down from the top, and the homeowners associations end up being the final receiver of all this, and the ones that actually implement it on a one-to-one basis. What we're talking about here is a program called Sustainable Development. And if you've never heard that term before, you need to understand one very important thing. Anytime anyone, an elected official, a member of a private organization, somebody involved in land use control or land use planning, uses the term sustainable development, you need to have your ears perk up right away. And you need to understand that sustainable development in any way, shape, or form is your enemy. If you're concerned about what happens with a homeowners association and what it does to your private property and your ability to enjoy your property the way you want to, understand this. Sustainable development is a homeowners association on steroids. This comes directly out of a treaty that was signed in 1992 at the Earth Summit, the UN Earth Summit in Brazil, called Agenda 21. Agenda 21 is the blueprint for complete top-down control, not only of property, but of development of our economy. Of course, environmental protections are involved here, but sustainable development is the implementing tool for Agenda 21. And the logo for sustainable development is three connecting circles. And each of these circles is marked. One is social equity, one is economic prosperity, and the other is ecological integrity. Social equity is every welfare program that has ever been devised. It is all about redistribution of the wealth, taking from those who have and giving to those who do not produce. And economic prosperity is talking about partnerships between government and business, which literally ends up meaning that the government controls business decisions. Under sustainable development, there can never be an existence of free enterprise, because we're talking about a program or a system that dictates what kind of products can be produced, who can produce them, where they can be produced, at what price they can be sold, what kind of workers are needed to develop these products. That's not free enterprise. And ecological integrity is just the excuse they're using to sucker us all into this. The idea that protecting the environment is paramount to anything, it must be the number one issue when deciding a question. And this is all part of sustainable development, and what you're feeling in homeowners associations are these regulations that are being handed down under the guise of this.
You know, I've been taking notes, I've been jotting down these things as you've been talking, and I can see where a homeowners association would fit into all of these. I mean, if you take social equity, Tom, one of the things that we seem to be doing in this country is wanting to make sure that everyone is a homeowner. And, of course, all homes built nowadays is in a homeowners association. Even when you have organizations like Habitat for Humanity who are out there building, they're starting to build developments and instilling associations. One of the issues that we're starting to face is affordable housing. So while they'll tell you, oh, well, you've got to live in a homeowners association because, you see, a homeowners association will protect your property values. On the other hand, what we're saying is we've got to make sure that we have a steady supply of affordable housing, and therefore we're going to make sure that certain houses never increase in value. Or if they do, then you're going to have to pay back to the association a portion of that increase. So the individual never really realizes the full benefit of homeownership. Did you know that?
I didn't know that specifically, but what you're talking about is a completely managed economy and a managed society. And homeowners associations, as I said before, become the conduit to implement these programs. Let me just give you a little bit more here. Because
okay.
You talk about what is not sustainable. If we're talking about sustainable development, then certain things aren't sustainable. The definition of a sustainable community, and this is right out of the President's Council on Sustainable Development under the Clinton administration, which is still in place today. This is official policy of the federal government. It doesn't matter if Republicans are controlling all of the Congress or not. This stuff was implemented under the Bush or the Clinton administration, but it continues under the Bush administration. But this is a definition of a sustainable community, right out of their report. Sustainable communities encourage people to work together to create healthy communities where natural resources and historic resources are preserved, jobs are available, sprawl is contained, neighborhoods are secure, education is lifelong, transportation and health care are accessible, and all citizens have opportunities to improve the quality of their lives. Now, this is very innocent-sounding language. It's just the kind of utopia we all are looking for, just a wonderful place to live, but you have to break it down. How do we work together to accomplish all of this? What you have to do is you set up some sort of council that has the power to not only put the plan together, but enforce it. And this is where it comes in to each individual. If you have your own ideas about how you want your life to be, suddenly you come up against this council that says, no, you can't do that. In Waterloo, Iowa, where a good friend of mine lives, they have people who walk down the streets of the community and make sure that everything you are doing in that community is proper, If your grass is too long, of course, this gets into the homeowners association. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
The homeowners association is the front line of this. But whether your grass is too long, if you want to put a little shed to put your tools and so forth in, can't do that. All of this comes down to a plan that is put together by a central group that then set about to implement it. And the heck with the fact that it's your property, they will now tell you what to do with it. It gets much, much deeper than that. When you get into the social equity and the business partnerships, here's just a small list of some of the things under sustainable development that are unsustainable according to Agenda 21 out of the UN. Ski runs, grazing of livestock, disturbances of the soil, in other words, plowing or putting fences on pastures, modern farm production, herbicides. There are very specific rules about how homes can be built. Industrial activities are heavily regulated. Paved and tarred roads, logging activities, dams, reservoirs, power line construction. And this is a kicker. Economic systems that fail to set a proper value on the environment. That means free markets. The socialists who are putting this whole program together believe that capitalism rapes the land and rapes the environment and therefore must not be allowed. This is the kind of mindset that we're dealing with here. It comes straight out of the UN. The federal government has adopted it. It has put regulations together for states to follow, and those states are implementing them right straight down into your neighborhood and your homeowners association.
This all sounds very much like a program, and it's scary because, do you know what the Community Associations Institute is, Tom?
No, tell me.
It's a lobbying group. It's a trade organization for associations for the trades that provide services to the associations, and they came up with a plan about 5 years ago where they called it the reinvented community, because you see, homeowners associations are not working, and this is I guess the bottom of what you're talking about, and this is supposed to be the foundation, and it's not working. So they came up with this whole new program, and they called it the evolution and reinvention of community. And everything you just talked about was a part of that reinvented community.
Sure. They are obviously an active partner in the implementation of sustainable development. This goes on in every single community and every single state. There are no exceptions. It is happening everywhere. And there are all kinds of tools that they're using. And you're seeing it there on the front lines with homeowners associations. I work with a lot of ranchers and farmers out in the West, and people in the timber industry, mining industries, who are finding that slowly but surely they're losing their grazing rights. They are having their mines shut down. Timber activity is crumbling. And interesting thing, you're talking about property values,
mm-hmm.
and the cost of a home and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
If you have cut out all the means to produce homes, if you don't have lumber to build it and all the other materials, or they're severely restricted, the cost will skyrocket. And then we start talking about affordable housing. Well, what do we need? Well, obviously we need the federal government to step in and provide affordable housing. And now we're all living in government-controlled housing. And it's all along a specific plan that can only be built this way, and one of the paramount things of sustainable development is that you've heard the term smart growth. Smart growth is a policy that says we no longer can have urban sprawl. We can't move outside of the boundaries of a community, so we all must live within that community. Well, how will we all do that? That is in specific high-rise buildings and very crowded systems, all within the Homeowners Association, of course.
Of course.
And, then outside of that, no human activity will be allowed. This is a program Well, there's several overlapping programs. The overall program with Agenda 21, the blueprint for that is a thing called the Wildlands Project. The Wildlands Project calls for 50% of all the land in every single state, to be what they call rewilded back to the way it was before Christopher Columbus stepped foot on this land. Now you think about New Jersey and New York and some of the more populated states and how that is done. This is where smart growth comes in, overlaps on top of that. And
can I stop you there for just a second?
Sure.
You're talking about 50% of all the land. Now, someplace I read, and you may know the answer to this, that we're only using somewhere in the neighborhood of 5% of our livable land. So this is just artificially created.
Absolutely.
This whole, you know, need to control growth and sprawl and all of that is artificially created. It's contributing to increasing the cost of housing. It's just making things a whole lot worse. What about the 95% or 92% or whatever it is of the land that's sitting there vacant now?
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely correct on that. In fact, I've seen the statistic that said if all the people in all the world were brought together in one place, they could all live in an area the size of the state of Texas, and the population density would be no thicker or no heavier than living in Paris, France. And yet we're told we have population explosions, we have too much population, we've got all these undeveloped countries where people are starving and so forth. Well, that's true. The reason that that is happening is because they have bad governments. They have governments that don't recognize individuals, and they don't recognize property rights, and they don't have a free market system. You have dictators that suck up all the money and all the wealth and all the work of those people and keep them poor. And that's why they live in those kind of conditions. And this country didn't follow that example, and we end up having the wealthiest nation on earth. Our people are wealthier than any other. We have a better standard of living because we had a free market system. What this whole system now under sustainable development is working to do is what Al Gore called a wrenching transformation. And that wrenching transformation is sustainable development. It is socialism. It is total government control of everything we think, do, and say, away from free markets, away from private property. And what will happen with that? Your standard of living will go down, your happiness will go down, your income will go down, your wealth will go down, because that's what happens under socialism. Socialism doesn't work. But that's what this entire program is about, and as I said before, it is the official program of the federal government right here today.
One of the issues, one of this density thing is something that's called new urbanism. And I don't know if you've heard that term.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
New urbanism.
Uh-huh.
And what this basically does is increases density, but they wrap it up in very pretty language. They call it pedestrian-friendly neighborhoods. They call it communities. And the latest thing that just came out is that urban sprawl is fattening.
Yep.
You like this one? Residents who rely on cars to get around are more likely to become obese than those who live in dense housing neighborhoods with well-connected streets and mixed land uses, according to a newly released study. And they go on to talk about this, and they say that everybody's got to live in these highly densed up neighborhoods. It evokes a sense of community. It keeps you healthy. Problem is, it's not working, Tom. It's not working.
As I said, socialism doesn't work, and they will stop at nothing to implement this plan. They will come up with any excuse, anything, to drive people to accept this garbage, and that is all it is. It is taking away your right of choice. And, you know, who is making these decisions? Who are these people behind closed doors, small committees that decide that you're fat, that you aren't healthy, that you aren't doing the right thing for yourself? These are social planners that want to dictate to you how to live. And this is what I said earlier, the quote that you read for me earlier about the American people have accepted the idea that they have the right to tell their neighbor what to do with their property and what to do with their lives. This is the very essence of it. When you accept that moral premise that you have the right to tell somebody else how to live, then these kind of policies can easily be put into place. If you have individuals who staunchly stand for their own freedom and reject these ideas, then this kind of garbage cannot be implemented. But because the American people have allowed themselves to be led by the nose by people like this, who have no moral values whatsoever on human life, who want to control, who want the power and want the wealth that you produce, as long as you let them do that, then you will be guilty of allowing these programs to be put in place. And I'm guaranteeing you, you will start to live in a society you don't want to live in. It will be a new dark ages of misery and pain and suffering unlike any known on this planet. And we are systematically watching, or we're watching this being systematically put into place. It's called sustainable development, and it controls everything you think, do, and say.
How can we put a stop to it?
First of all, people have to understand it. They have to know what's happening to them. And let me tell you, this is the good news.
Okay.
Where it's being implemented the most is where the people are fighting the fiercest. In communities where they've never heard of this before, they're still looking at it saying, oh, well, maybe that sounds pretty good. You go to Santa Cruz, California, where they've been doing this for 12 years. They've been implementing these programs. I spoke in Santa Cruz in February. We had a standing room only audience, and these weren't people just curious to hear what I had to say. These were people who came ready to fight, because out there, there's literally no building allowed anywhere. There's no construction allowed anywhere. Water is controlled. They have a shortage of highways because they're not allowed to build any, artificially short. If you violate any of their massive amounts of rules, you get what they call a red tag. Almost everybody who walked in that audience that night had a red tag. They were fierce. They were ready to fight. And they're ready to turn this over. And we're making more progress right now in Santa Cruz than anywhere else in the country because they understand that what I'm saying isn't some crazy thing that this nut is talking about, but they're living under it. We're seeing people up in Wisconsin and Michigan, we're beginning to see people rise up against it. Just had a wonderful case in South Carolina where a group decided, an environmental group had decided that they were going to lock away 18,000 acres of Greenville, South Carolina County, and they were the people showed up. They understood what this was about. They outnumbered the people who wanted to do this, the land use control people, by 10-1. It was one of those consensus meetings where a facilitator decided how this is what the outcome is. We want to reach here, and the outcome is we're going to control these 18,000 acres of land, and we're going to throw people off their land, and we're going to have land use control here. And they were outnumbered 10-1, and they turned the meeting around to where the chairman of the organization had to get up and say, "We have reached the wrong consensus here." I loved it. They turned the argument into about freedom instead of land use control, and so he ends the meeting. They destroyed that effort, and those people understood, because we've been getting this information out. I work with a lot of organizations that have worked hard to get the truth out to people, and some people are picking up on it, and that's what's happening. And we can turn this around, but people first have to understand that they can't tell their neighbor what to do with their property, and second, they have to understand what the evil is under all this that's trying to control their land.
Well, there's so many evils that I think come into it. You know, you've got the big evil over there, and you've got the master planner, if you will. But then it opens up the door for all of these other terrorists to move in. And that's what they are. I mean, we call them condo commandos and Nazis, and, you know, but they basically terrorize people in their own homes. And, of course, I'm going back to homeowners associations here, as you may have noticed.
And you must. that's where it goes back to.
What are we doing to our kids, Tom? Our kids are growing up in this. They're watching mom and dad this tower in the corner. They're being abused. They're being harassed. They're being fined. They're being threatened with foreclosure. They're being terrorized in their own homes. And these are the kids who are growing up watching this.
Sure. Well, if children are watching that and they're picking up on it, then they're prime candidates, people to fight this, because they understand the evil of it. But what's happening in the schools, and this is key, this is very, very important that people understand, that the wrenching transformation of our society is starting first with the schools, because you know that the schools have been changed, you know that the children aren't learning academics, you know that they're just not academically smart today. They don't know our history. They don't understand where our country came from, or what created this country, or what the ideas were of our founding fathers. We all know that, and yet we keep pouring more money into the schools thinking that's the solution. The fact of the matter is, the first transformation to take place was in the schools. Our schools are working perfectly for what they are set up to do. They are set up to create the worker of tomorrow in the global village of sustainable development. That's what they're designed to do, so that they won't have individual ideas to invent new things or mess up this well-organized society, not to think outside the box. They are supposed to just be cogs in the wheel. And one of the keys to that is you had Goals 2000 and School to Work, which is very key to it, and the Workforce Development Act. The Workforce Development Act sets up workforce development boards controlled by people who are implementing these programs to pick the workers of tomorrow. Children are being sent off into directions to become workers in specific fields that these people deem necessary for the future. That is a Soviet system. That's where it came from, and it is absolutely ruling today's schools. There is no hope in today's schools as they are set up to have a child come out of there understanding free enterprise, understanding private property, and that's done by design, so that as we do this wrenching transformation through the homeowners associations, through sustainable development, that we have people who won't question it. But if we've got kids watching as their home is wrenched out from under their parents, and they understand there's something wrong with that, then they are key to becoming fighters in the future to change this. Because the fact of the matter is, the system will not work that they are implementing. The day will come when the economy collapses, when the property values collapse, when people stand up and say, man, this doesn't work, what is wrong? What we have to do is make sure that we've got enough people who understand what private property is, what free enterprise is, and this is how we get out of this to lead us away from it, because the system will collapse eventually, because it's socialism and it doesn't work.
My fear when I asked you about the kids was that they grow up thinking this is totally normal because they'd watched it all their lives, that it's okay for the neighbor to come over and say, hey, your garage door is the wrong shade of white. And that's essentially what's happening, Tom.
Understand, and that's what I'm saying. In the schools, that's what they're being taught.
Exactly. Well, in the schools, you know, the Community Associations Institute that I was telling you about earlier, one of their solutions, if you will, to the failing common ownership scam is that we must educate, and we must start educating the kids in school. And so they're going into the high schools and having courses, or they want to. I don't know if they've implemented them. And in junior colleges, on how to live in a homeowners association, that these are your responsibilities. These are your duties if you live in a homeowners association. And, of course, everything is in a homeowners association now.
Sure, exactly. And they must continue to expand that and get people so we... You know, I moved out of Fairfax County. I moved 30 miles onto property to get away from a homeowners association. And a person with my ideas and my values living in the middle of a homeowners association was absolute war. And but you get people who don't understand that, who they think that's the proper way to go with it. Don't question it. That's exactly what they want. They want citizens of tomorrow to live under these completely controlled systems without questioning it and going along with whatever leadership says they need to do. And what we've got to do is teach our children that that's not the right way. Frankly, and I will say something, if you don't think what I've said so far is radical, now you will.
Okay.
I believe that the number one thing that parents should do if they want to stop this is get their children out of public schools. Now, I have teachers that just rise up when I say that. Well, the teachers are part of that system, and sometimes it's come on them so slowly they don't understand what's been changed. But the schools are set up to be behavior modification factories, and to put out these workers for tomorrow. They are not for academics, and until people learn that, it is not going to change.
That's an interesting thought right there. I think education is key, and I know that people who proponents of associations and proponents of all of this also look at education as a means of setting things up. But we've got to be able to show kids that there is a better way of doing things, that this is not normal. That having your neighbor stand in front of your house with a clipboard taking note of everything you say and do is just not normal. I have a guy who's being fined because he sent an email from his own computer in his own home. He's being fined by his homeowners association. Would you believe that one?
Yes, I do. I do believe it. And, it just leaves you speechless at a certain point, the things they do. I was told by the folks that I work with in Santa Cruz that their homeowners association has applied for NGO status, non-government organization status, with the United Nations. And
for
that
what?
Set off major alarm bells about what the purpose of homeowners associations are, because they're talking about reform in the UN. The UN reform that they're talking about is to take away the veto power in the Security Council and add what they call an Assembly of the People, which would have the central power in the UN. The Assembly of the People would be made up of non-government organizations, made up like the National Education Association, the Sierra Club, the Nature Conservancy, Planned Parenthood. These are NGOs. And if homeowners associations now become NGOs as well, then you can understand they are just part of the system. Nobody's electing anybody here, but you have this would be our system of representation. Your homeowners association now would be the one to represent you in the global village. If that doesn't terrify you, let's think about a global IRS. This is nuts, but this is where we're headed.
Let's take a break, Tom, and let's come back to that. We're going to talk about just that, where your homeowners association does represent you. Don't go away. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. There you go.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect. All my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs. Life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos. Someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.
WBR Fairfax Radio, you're on the Commons. I'm Sue Bartholomew. And on the Commons with me today is Tom DeWeese from the American Policy Center. Right, Tom?
Yes.
Can we give people your web address? I know it's on my promo, and it will be on my website when I upload the show today. But let's give it to people who are not going to get it from the web in case they want to contact you.
Sure. They can go into our website at www.americanpolicy, all one word, americanpolicy.org. And we've got a lot of articles, a lot of things we're covering here today. I've got a way to contact us there by email. You can also give us a call at our offices. We're in Warrenton, Virginia, And our phone number is 540-341-8911.
Very good. And we'll repeat that before we go off the air. Don't let me forget. But we're getting into so much stuff here. This is great. We were talking just before we went off, you know, just before we went to our break, you were talking about non-government organizations and how the HOA applied for that status with the UN, right?
Yes. Only the UN grants that status. They're the ones who sanction somebody to be an NGO or not.
Okay, well, maybe they don't call them NGOs, but one of the beautiful things about a homeowners association, if you're a municipal government, is that you can shunt your responsibility off onto the private sector. And if you live in Fairfax County, and I know this happens across the country, but I'm going to speak for Fairfax County because that's where I live and that's where you used to live. But if you live in a homeowners association and you try to contact the county for any reason, they don't want to have anything to do with you. They'll tell you to go through your homeowners association. Only your association has the right to communicate with the county.
Yeah. This is incredible because our system of government was set up very specifically that you had elected representatives and city council and county commissioners were the closest to you in representation. The purpose of that was, and that's where the majority of the power was put to elected officials in this country. At the beginning, Congress had very, very little. The states had a little more than Congress, but your local communities is where the majority of the power was placed, very specifically because that is where you go to lunch with your councilman. You can see him on the street. You live next door to him, and this is a way for representative government to be at the lowest level there, where you can affect things. And to take that away and have a homeowners association. Oh yeah, people elect the people on the board of the homeowners association, right? what are your choices? And this is not anything that was written into the Constitution. This is not a line of government. It's supposed to be a club that basically tells the people in the neighborhood, these are the ideas we have, to make sure your grass is cut and that sort of thing. It has become a government. It now controls the streets. It can put it put liens on your property and take it away from you. Who are these people? These are not elected representatives in the common term of that, but yet this is the kind of government that we are moving towards. Less and less and less elected representatives and more and more and more appointed governments. Communities are now combining with other communities to have appointed boards that oversee development and so forth. You have now in Washington, D.C., and parts of Virginia and parts of Maryland, you have an overshadowing their government that is not elected by anybody, but it decides where the highways are built, it decides how the rivers are used, it decides how communities are developed, and this happens all over the country. And this is done by design. This is all part of sustainable development, where we have it's not voted on by people. If this program was put on a ballot and was voted on and it was honestly described what it would be, obviously you know where it would go. It would not be voted on or not be approved. But we're not given that choice. And what's happening now, even aside from the homeowners associations, and there are communities, believe it or not, that still don't have those, but aside from that, under sustainable development programs, if you have a sustainable development visioning council that gets together, and before anybody in the community knows it's going to happen, there are certain people who put this visioning plan together. Then it's quietly announced to the community, and you'll have members of your education system, your city councils, your news media, Chamber of Commerce. These people are all suddenly on these visioning boards, and they're just trying to prevent or trying to provide a vision for our community. That's how it's sold. But these boards are partnerships with government and partnerships with business, and they're kind of right there in the middle, and everything, all the barriers get torn down. It's all one big entity. And that's exactly what school to work is and workforce development boards are. And it's what your homeowners association is becoming part of. And it's all one seamless web is the term they use to pull it all together. But what it does is it takes away your ability to protest it, to vote against it, and you know, that way a representative form of government is wiped away.
You know, I was thinking while you were talking here, and you said that the municipal government, the lowest government, had the most power because that was where you were. Well, now what they're saying, proponents of associations are saying that homeowners associations are democracy up close and personal. And yet, I think they're the exact opposite of what democracy should be.
They most assuredly are. Most assuredly are. They are invasive, intrusive. We don't call them Nazis for nothing. You know, I've said many, many times, I've got my local community government, I've got the state government, I've got the federal government, and I've got the UN. I don't need another level of government. By something that I never wanted to have there in the first place, and it has the power to control what I do with my property. This is just a move by the sustainable development people, and this has been going on for a while. And you know, to implement the program without us having the ability to protest it.
Tom, they market it in such a way that people buy into the notion. They think they're buying into carefree living. They think they're buying into democracy up close and personal, that they get a say in what happens. They think that they're going to be taken care of, that if their neighbor does something that they don't like, they can have someone else deal with it, deal with the problem, smack the neighbor around a little bit, set them straight. They're going to live in a development where if they don't like a neighbor, it is completely possible to find them and foreclose and get rid of them, circumventing all of the federal laws that prohibit such behavior.
Yeah, absolutely true. That's why a socialist or someone who wants to control what other people do love them, because they can band together. And let's face it, I mean, you know, it is true that people like you and I can get involved in a homeowners association and get elected to the board and perhaps drive it in the way we want to. But you know what? I don't want to be involved in that. I don't want that sort of government or that kind of control over the top of me. This is not a democratic system. It is not an elective body. It is just a nuisance that is put in place and that force you in all your busy life to go in and deal with this too. We don't need another form of government. Our Constitution was put together brilliantly, should be left alone, and I don't see anywhere in there that a homeowners association was called for. So it's just a nuisance.
Well, I agree with you. By the way, I was on the board, and I'm not defensive about it. People who are on the board tend to get very defensive. Oh, we don't behave like that. We don't do that. That would never happen in my association. Well, maybe, maybe not. I mean, you don't know who's going to be on there next time. You don't know what happens when the next election comes around. So don't get comfortable, and you can't get comfortable. And now I've lost my train of thought.
Well, you know, and you're right. And the thing is that this system with homeowners associations is set up in such a way where people who think like you and I do cannot survive in that system.
Yeah.
And eventually it can be used to turn it against you, and they will continue on their merry way the way it is, because that is the way it's set up. And we don't function well in that kind of a place, and also our ideas will not survive in that sort of an environment.
How do you tell people who seem to find something appealing about a homeowners association, whether it's the fact that they don't have to mow the grass, whether they can control their neighbors, whether they think their property values are being protected? How do you debunk all of these myths I mean, these myths have been around for decades, and these are really clever little clips that people have been using over and over and over. Oh, a homeowners association will protect your property values. It'll protect pink doors. It'll protect cars on blocks. How do you debunk that?
It is the most difficult thing there is, because I think I mentioned to you, my mother is the head Nazi in her homeowners association. We have had, we don't argue about anything but that. And she's an elderly person who wants that kind of protection, and she's the one who wanders around the neighborhood checking things, and if kids are skateboarding, and if somebody's got an animal they're not supposed to have, and so forth, she's the one who's right in there doing all these kind of things. There is a mentality. There are people who enjoy that sort of thing. I mean, that's why we have so many of these kind of programs in the world, because there are people who want people to think for them, want things done for them, and it's a matter of moral integrity. It's a matter of education, and that's where it has to start, because this has been sold for so long, and it's so difficult to deal with. There is no golden gun or something that you can, one silver bullet that you can fire to say, oh, we'll fix all that, because it starts with your moral fiber, with your moral foundation of what you believe. And if you believe you've got the right to tell people how to live, and if you believe that it's okay for someone else to control how you live, then you got a long way to go to get out of all this.
You know, that's key right there, Tom, because a lot of people think it's perfectly okay to control the neighbor. And so it's sold to them on that basis. Wouldn't you like to know that your neighbor will never, ever be able to paint his door chartreuse? And so they think, oh, this is great. You know, I can control my neighbor. But I think if the question were put, or if the statement were, you live in there and you won't even have to think, baby. We'll just take care of all your thoughts for you. You know, we'll pick your colors. We'll just torment you to death. It'll be so much fun. Come on, sign up. Do you think people would still sign up?
I think there would be those who do. There are those people who look at that and accept it. And they accept government control without question. This really literally goes back to the root. 200 years ago, that would never have happened. Even 150 years ago, you could not even have suggested such a thing in this country. But we have shifted. Since the Civil War, we have shifted to this idea that central government knows all and is all, and individuals are secondary to that. And it is accelerating today, and the reason that it's accelerating is because more and more people have accepted that idea. That's why when I go to speak, and I go before audiences that are supposed to be people who say they believe in limited government, say they believe in individual freedom, the first thing I say to them is, this is happening because you have accepted the idea that you have the right to tell your neighbor what to do. And I have people say, man, I thought you were browbeating me when you did that. Yeah, I was. I did it on purpose, because I want you to think about it, because it's become such a part of our system and our way of life that people don't even realize that that's what's happening. That's just what we're dealing with. And my purpose is to shock them back into understanding that this is wrong.
Well, I was invited to talk to a group of homeowners who were about to take over their association from the developer, and they'd had some problems, so I went down and talked to them. And this was down in Stafford County a few years ago. And there was this one woman. Everybody else wanted to dissolve the association. They just didn't want to deal with it. And there was this one woman who was sort of hanging on. And she thought, well, you know, suppose somebody wanted to paint their door front door pink. And I said, so you want to control your neighbor? And she says, no. I said, well, yeah, that's exactly what you're doing. The only reason you're willing to put everyone through this nonsense is so that you can control your neighbor, just in case your neighbor decided to paint their door pink.
They always come up with these hypothetical issues.
What do we do? Yeah.
The fact of the matter is that the real the on the ground, or the closest thing that you have to controlling your property and getting along with your neighbors is to talk with your neighbors and go over and talk to them and say, hey, look, your dog's barking all night long.
Mm-hmm.
You got a light shining in my bedroom window, on and on and on. Can't we do something about this? There are nuisance laws, have been on the books since the beginning of time, to take care of these kind of things.
Exactly.
You don't have to have a homeowners association and the Nazis that run them dictating these kind of things. You get down to the color of their door. If I want to paint my door chartreuse, it's none of your business. And this is what people need to be told. And but first of all, the first line of defense is go talk to your neighbor and tell them why it's a problem. And in most cases, and this is the way we ran this country for 200 years, people worked together. That's why they knew their neighbors. Now we don't know our neighbors. We don't want to know our neighbors because they're probably on the homeowners association, and we hate them. This is why we don't want to deal with them.
I think that's perfect. I think you're absolutely right there. But we don't know our neighbors, and part of this new urbanism is putting all houses right on the sidewalk, so there are no front yards, and every house has a front porch, so that you will be forced to sit on your front porch, right, and then greet your neighbors as they walk by,
or watch out for the drive-bys. But it's,
well, no, they don't have front. You know, the cars are gone because you see we're going back to yesteryear here.
Yeah.
So you're sitting on the front porch. You've got an alley in the back, but the driveways, the cars, the garages, they're all in the back so that you don't have the traffic in front. So the only traffic, remember these are pedestrian friendly,
right.
So the only traffic you have is foot traffic.
Well, this is a key to sustainable development. Automobiles
right.
are to be banned.
That's right.
They are not sustainable.
That's
and
it.
They want light rail trains. And public transportation be the only transportation that we have, and they want the communities to be built around these light rail train stations and so forth, and that's the utopia that they're talking about. In Portland, Oregon, this was the test place of all this. They did that.
Yes.
People rebelled. They hated it. They wouldn't buy the local houses that were along these light rail train stations. They kept their cars because, you know, unless we're all ants, unless we're all going down to work at the same factory, we have different schedules. It doesn't work for us all to carpool somewhere else. You were talking about artificially controlling things. We have artificially controlled the building of roads.
Yes.
Up until just recently, and it was just a matter of a couple months ago, Governor Ehrlich in Maryland announced that he's going to focus on building roads. Up until that time, I talked with some officials in Maryland who's told me that there was not a single plan on the books to build another road in the state of Maryland. This is all part of Glenn Denning's Smart Growth Plan, which is sustainable development.
Mm-hmm.
And now the roads were crowded,
yeah.
And people were saying, oh, well, we've got to stop having so many cars because we're overcrowding the roads.
That's right.
If you have one road, it's going to be crowded. Build some more. If you have a landfill filling up, build some more. We've got a whole lot of land we can do this with, but they won't let us because sustainable development and Agenda 21 and the Wildlands Project are all artificially changing how we live, and they are boxing us up into the boundaries of existing communities. They are hurting us out of rural areas into these high-rise buildings, these crowded neighborhoods. It's all part of the sustainable development program, and it's all artificial, and we're going to end up with massive amounts of land that nobody can touch for anything. And what's interesting about the people who support this is that we are systematically shutting down mining. We are not allowing oil drilling. We are not allowing timber, and yet we sit here on our computers and with all of our mass communications, all of which needs those elements that are mined out of the ground, and to build the homes and so forth, we need these building supplies, and all that's being shut down. And where do they think this is coming from? It's coming. It only comes from natural development, but they won't allow us to do that. So this is sustainable development. This is what we're dealing with. And this is why you are facing in your community overcrowded highways, and you're facing massive overcrowding. If you look, if you go through Fairfax County and you see all of those townhouses and apartment buildings that have been built, this is sustainable development, and it is artificially creating overcrowding and lower standard of living. It is the government that is doing that. It is these programs that is doing that, not free enterprise and not private property.
The article, we're running out of time here, but the article I started to read you about urban sprawl is fattening. It goes on and it says, the study presents the best evidence yet that walkable neighborhoods can protect their residents' health. According to the Congress of New Urbanism, a nonprofit organization that promotes compact, walkable, and environmentally sustainable neighborhoods.
There you go.
I will send you this article.
Please do, and you'll find out that that's a press release. I doubt there's any scientific basis for that study whatsoever. It happens constantly, and you'll also find this becomes the basis for the new suits on over obesity. It's all part of sustainable development.
Well, actually, Lawrence Frank of the University of British Columbia led the two-year, $4.6 million obesity project, which studied 8,000 households and urban design in Atlanta.
I'd like to see that report.
I will send it to you. Right. Tom, thank you so much for joining us today. Before we go off the air, can we give people your email address and contact information one more time?
Sure. Our website is AmericanPolicy.org, and you can go in there, get information from us. You can get our email address and contact us from there. Give us a call, Warrenton, Virginia, 540-341-8911. Our newsletter is the DeWeese Report. We'll be happy to send you out a free copy of it. And anything else we've talked about today, we'll send you information on it.
I'll put that information on my website at www.